Hour 5 of the Nation, a victorious Texas Rangers Wednesday here in the Nation. They went to Cincinnati. They lost the first one, got tatered, but then they get back-to-back 1-0 wins. Eovaldi last night. Leiter went 5 today, and the bullpen was really good once again. Luke Jackson got the save after the second hitter, I believe, got on base. They get out of it, and they get the win, 1-0. So off to a 5-2 start. Off tomorrow, another day off for Corey Seager. And then hosting Tampa on Friday in a game we're going to be at the ballpark.
Yeah, we'll be there. And, Ellie De La Cruz, right? Both the final outs
both
of
days,
both games.
Yep.
I was like, please don't let this guy bat, you know. And but, hey, good job of getting him out. A night and a day. But, man, what a great job by the Rangers holding
first
that
time back. In franchise history they won back-to-back 1-0 games. And they did in less than 24 hours. Isn't that nuts?
That guy crushed us, though, the opening night, though.
The Rangers got outscored in the series 14-5, yet won 2 out of 3.
Mm. You got to love it, you know.
That's the way it's done right there, boys.
Baseball gods are on your side, and for more on this exciting opening storyline, here's Wolchuk with your proper round tripper.
Yeah, I asked this to Jared earlier. He kind of poo-pooed it, but I definitely thought there was something to it. So baseball guy of the day, that's me. Screw you, Sands.
That's right.
Evan Grinch just got an article out about how Nathan Eovaldi's performance really propelled Jack Leiter today. I think there's got to be something to that, right? Like, if you're watching a guy just absolutely take down a lineup the night before, I'm going to try to emulate a little bit of stuff. Jared's 100% right. Not everybody's able to throw the same style of pitches, not able to have the same type of movement and command on it, but certainly Leiter knew exactly what Eovaldi did, and he followed suit.
And you don't know the league as well as a veteran would,
right.
So just like going through the lineup as – you know, a similar pitcher with similar velocities, you got to be taking notes there of what works.
And it also goes like every guy that we've talked to for the last 2 years since Evo's been here, the leadership that he has, not only just for the pitching staff, but in general and his knowledge of the game. So Evan Grant noted in Evo's 99 pitch shutout threw the lowest percentage of four seam fastballs in a start in his career. He mixed in the splitter and his newly rediscovered curve more frequently. It kept the Reds off balance. Afterwards, he goes and he speaks to Leiter, and he says, soft. Leiter knew exactly what Eovaldi meant. In 5 innings today, he threw 31 sliders, 10 curves, handful of his new kick changeup. He threw only 16 fastball seamers. So he certainly went ahead and did some of the change stuff, the off-speed pitches, and it worked out, both of them, to get out of that Reds lineup. And hey, kudos to Josh Young as well. An amazing diving grab. The defense was great as well.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Josh Smith, you meant there.
Did I say Young?
Yeah.
I got my mind on Josh Young. I'm hoping he can come back soon.
No, a lot of good things happening with this baseball team. I think right now you got to hope that Leiter, Mally, DeGrom, and of course Eovaldi are really good, because I don't know what Kamar Rocker is going to be able to give you. You know, and with Leiter's blister You know, I do feel like this team needs to get healthy, and they need to start hitting, because you should feel fortunate to be sitting at 5-2.
Yeah, let's hope that ends up happening during this Rays series at home on Friday, which we'll be at there Friday, broadcasting live from the Globe. So the Rangers now can add Kyle Higashioka to the team torpedo. He's going to be one of the ones that's going to use this torpedo bat. Yankees have certainly set MLB by storm with what they've been able to do using this, but it does not appear Corey Seager and Marcus Semien are going to be doing
it. Yeah, that's frustrating. I think this is an easy one where you should just trust the science, trust the data. What's it telling you? They can plug your swing and its trajectory into a computer and study it, and these people are going to spit out where exactly the sweet spot should be, and then they can build a bat perfectly for you. What's the problem? You know, I don't see why every hitter shouldn't do this, other than being stubborn or maybe having a little bit of ego here, fear of change, all this stuff. Maybe you don't like how it's gone viral. You know, whatever your personal bias against it is, the data disagrees, guys.
Right.
This is not a place to be injecting opinion.
Well, Seager says he's more focused on putting himself in the right spot to do what he needs to do. And he's also just a routine guy, and he's more concerned with the body movement than the technology. He's apparently been loyal to a pair of bats that he picked up from Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Robbie Grossman, which he's kind of turned into his own hybrid bat.
Mariucci's?
And then you've got Semien, who said, I want the Marcus Semien bat to start hitting first. For me, it's kind of a comfort thing. Comfortable with certain things. I've pretty much used the same two models for the last 5 years, and he doesn't want to change it up. But I'd say it's a safe assumption. If the Marcus Semien bat doesn't come around, he's got to try it out.
At some point, you're going to go through a slump, and you'll do a batting practice with it, and you'll notice the extra pop and that physics is actually real.
Boom, it works.
Yeah.
We had a lot of extensions today in Major League Baseball. The Padres extended Jackson Merrill for 9 years, $135 million. Congratulations to him. He just got a hefty payday. And then Ketel Marte of the D-backs got himself a six-year, $116.5 million extension. So money being thrown around Major League Baseball today. Congratulations to those that got paid.
Rolling in it, baby.
History made. Dustin May, Northwest High School Zone. He returned after 22 months. Dodgers got to 7-0. And the Dodgers became the first team to come from behind to beat the Atlanta Braves to improve to 7-0, tying the 1933 New York Yankees that featured Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, for the best mark to start a season for a reigning champion. 1933, we got to go to here 2025 for a team to have a 7-0 or better start. Pretty incredible.
Steve Bono.
It's the second time we've had the Bono reference today. Yeah.
I just thought that was... You
know, he's involved, isn't he, in this?
Oh, he's not involved? I thought there was a big gap between 33 and 25.
You think he was born in 1933?
No, I was kind of making fun of the fact we had a pretty significant from one to the other.
Yeah.
I just threw it in there because it was
that was good.
Awkward
that was good.
Pause there for a moment.
No, I was hoping I'd get some feedback from you guys. I'm struggling
over here.
Steve DeBerg, slapping the base. Yankees set the Major League Baseball record 17 homers through the first four games amid the torpedo debate, so they continue to keep crushing it with the ball. And then we had the Blue Jays. You always complain about the bunting, Brian.
They don't know how to bunt. They don't know how to bunt.
Well, their skipper, Schneider, went ahead and did a batting competition. A bunting competition. Mm. In spring training. We divided the guys up into teams, with the winning team getting $1,000 courtesy of me, the manager. He gave away his own money. And as it turns out, it was a good investment because yesterday they had a 5-3 win over the Nats, and they had an excellent bunt single from Will Wagner that kept a 3-run second inning rolling. Then as the Blue Jays were building momentum again in the 8th, they got bunts from Ernie Clement, and Wagner again kept the line moving until Bo Bichette delivered a big hit. So the small ball worked out. The Buntskis got the Blue Jays a victory.
There you go.
I think more bunts.
It's amazing
if you actually spend time on it.
It's amazing to me that teams don't know how to bunt.
You make it happen.
It is incredible. You're at the ballpark for so many hours before the game.
Exactly.
Why aren't you bunting? Why are we doing bunt
challenges? I was wondering that.
Let's have a bunt challenge.
We're going to take 27,000 swings in the cage this season trying to hit home runs, pull home runs again and again. Yeah.
Let's rip some bunts together.
Let's rip some bunts. Let's get a little bunt cake in here. Let's make it happen.
If you're like the 24th or 5th guy on the roster, Ezekiel Duran, guys like that.
Be a bunt master.
Be a bunter.
Yeah.
We need to send you up. We need to move the guy over, and you might drag one for a hit, or you might place one perfectly that they throw the ball away and we get a guy to third. We don't have that, I don't think. We don't have anybody that can
lay the Bunsky down.
You know.
Well, the teams decided that they weren't going to bunt for about a decade, right? Now it's coming back a little bit. There was a lost time where you weren't developing it. And now we're sort of in this post everybody try to hit home runs or strike out type of
the
deal.
The launch angle stuff.
Yeah, you know, and now we're like, well, maybe at times you should be able to play small ball. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, there was a loss there in the generation of handing down that
knowledge. I know a couple of times our center fielder's gone up there and tried to bunt. He's been awful.
Hasn't worked out.
No.
I think with his speed, he'd be able to pull it off.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Just be able to lay the ball down to get somebody to second base. You never know. Like, pitcher comes flying off the mound and throws it away, and now you're first and third.
Everybody's safe.
Yeah.
Scoring position.
We never
get it
that.
Going. Yeah. All right, Tim McMahon just came out and said Derek Lively's going to return tonight from a stress fracture.
I bet Derek Lively could lay down a mean bunt.
Apparently, Jason Kidd said that he's going to play. He's going to be limited to 15 minutes against the Hawks. No PJ Washington, though. He's dealing with an illness.
Play him the last 15 Jeez. Minutes if that's what you're going to do.
Just save Derek Lively for the end?
Yeah, just...
Having like Gafford back and Davis
I'm
back...
I'm telling you, they're going
to
need him.
He's a closer.
I think we've had a chance to see enough of it. How much does Lively coming back push it over the top?
Oh, big time. Championship.
Gafford, though, got hurt the other day. Like, he bumped knees with somebody
they
else.
They were knee bumping each other. And he was, you know,
I thought, oh, my God, he's coming out again. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping to see enough that they could at least make an entertaining series, but Davis just isn't trying right now, so it's tough to evaluate. Like, I think he's coasting at like 70%. If you get to the playoffs and he's like, okay, I'm going to go try to score 40 every night, maybe it's a different look, but I still see the inept offense for extended stretches out there.
Yeah, you can tell that they just don't have the guard play to make it happen. Last thing here. I wanted to get back to this naked airport stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
What the hell is going on? We had a temper tantrum lady that was running around naked. Then today I saw we had like a Spirit passenger that got upset. Mm. She started getting naked. She's running around. What's up with stripping and getting nude and running around all upset and angry or just wandering aimlessly at the airports?
Theory, I spoke to it a couple of weeks ago. I think people are dabbling in edibles, thinking it's going to make them super relaxed on a plane. But you start eating that weed and not smoking that weed, and it can do crazy things to you. Mm. I think people are panicking under the influence of hallucinogens.
I mean, that's one of the only logical things that I could even consider, because I don't understand how a sober-minded human being just steps into the airport and just becomes a completely... ridiculous version of themselves.
Don't enjoy it.
Because you don't see this in other establishments. It's not like there's this new internet craze where you just show up to different places of business and get naked and just get pissed off.
There was streaking in the 70s. That used
streaking,
to be,
yeah.
Streaking was part
you
of
also had well. Angel dust in the 70s and 80s, the PCP, that would make people spontaneously take their clothes off. It actually got the nickname Butt Naked. The street drug, Butt Naked, because people would do that angel dust and get naked.
Okay, maybe the angel dust is making.
But I don't think it's making a big comeback, or would be something that people would want to do before they got on an airplane.
But you're right. Like, why aren't people getting angry at Walmart and having a temper tantrum and getting naked? It's only happening at these airports. At least it's only getting viral from the airports.
Yeah, and maybe there's a part of that where
you think
these
we're doing it for notoriety.
Just, yeah, it might just be.
You think we're just like now everything is about,
I don't know, some of these
clicks
women
trying
to go viral.
Some of these clicks
people probably
likes.
Don't need to be doing this, and it's embarrassing.
What do you mean by that? They're not. They don't pass the eye test. You saying you got to be at least a 7.5,
look,
8?
I'm
to
saying
pull this
I'd
move?
Be embarrassed if I had a naked video out there go viral, and these women should be too, because we're big.
Get hotter before you go do the naked airport
should
rage
fest. Should we
vote
for that? Like,
yeah,
if somebody's thinking about
one.
It, if somebody's thinking about it, they should make a gate announcement. You know, we have somebody that wants to get naked. We're going to vote here.
Yeah.
<You
know? laughs> Does this person qualify?
Yeah.
At least need a solid 8.5.
Yeah.
I do remember there was
raise
a deal.
Raise your hand. I want to see this.
Okay. No, you're not going to get naked. So sit back down, please. Thank
Bam,
you very
go
much.
Go to the bathroom and run around naked there. Just hide yourself.
Another announcement. We will be boarding in 7.5 minutes.
There was a dude at DFW who did it some years ago, but it seems like this has been a lady thing. At least.
I haven't seen any guys doing this yet.
Yeah, not lately.
Not lately. I did. There was the one dude.
Yeah.
Full on hang down, mix up. There was helicopter
up. Actually,
did he claim mix up on that? I accidentally just fell out of my clothes, sir. I don't know what I'm doing.
He forgot the clothes. He pulled a Dawson and just forgot the suitcase, and he had to strip.
Who just snorted there? Was that you?
Yeah,
it was me.
Well, Chuck's battling today.
I'm in a world of hell.
Been grinding through this thing.
Tried to send you William.
I know. I just couldn't do it because then you'd have called me the P word off air.
I would have, but you did a good job.
Thanks,
today,
buddy. I'm really trying.
Yeah, you can't be out on the injury report with the sniffles.
You think it's people that are just like on the cusp of mental health breakdown? And you add a little bit of booze and the stress of the airport. Maybe they missed their flight.
There's a lot of stress.
They feel
going
trapped
on in the airport.
They've just had it.
Yeah. People don't like to fly.
You might have just nailed it. All of that stuff together, next thing you know.
They were at their tipping point already when they walked in the airport.
I mean, I'm not going to get naked, but I could see myself like hitting a wall and breaking my hand out of frustration on some of these travel nightmares that I've been on.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. When you keep losing your boarding pass and have to get it reprinted, you're just like, you know what?
I lose my boarding pass all the time.
Where did you lose your boarding pass?
I don't know.
Anywhere and everywhere.
I think in the bucket, maybe at security.
No,
maybe
no.
Just falls out of my pocket.
Like in the last trip?
Last two trips. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. This is common. This is
okay. So actually, I only lost it once. The second time,
was
just
the Frontier flights?
I just got through security without it. No.
How'd you get through security without a boarding
They started
pass?
Just asking for a license.
Yeah, you don't need the pass until you're getting on the plane.
Yeah.
But they check the license with the boarding pass.
Not Most from our experience.
Time. Some of the time.
Well, they do sometimes for us when we're doing the TSA pre. In general, I thought sometimes it's just the driver's license.
Dawson gets a little lackadaisical, though, because when we sat down and you had the, what did you get? You got the corned beef
corn
or something.
Corned beef sandwich,
You got the corned beef and we had the burgers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we get up from the table, and Dawson's ready to go get on that flight. He didn't realize he just left the boarding pass right there on the table as if it was like a napkin for trash.
I don't know what it is.
I had to flag him down.
I got a mental block with that damn thing.
That's the way she goes.
Okay, we got to run. Thank you for that proper round tripper, Wolchuk, as we come in and stomp home base here in the G-Bag Nation. Rangers are rolling. Got to score some runs. Yeah. Hopefully they get the bats going this weekend against Tampa. But if they don't, I bet CY would remedy that thing before we get to even June. They'd be like, oh, you guys aren't hitting? Okay, looks like we're trading. Okay. Or maybe we're going to bring our guy up, our guy Osuna up.
Oh, Osuna, sure.
I bet he'll put on a show.
Oh, Osuna rather than later.
That's right. Yep. I love it. Okay, hodgepodge next, Chief. What do you got?
The two best April Fool's jokes from yesterday's holiday, plus a very unfortunate basketball injury next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Here's the Chief with that evening hodgepodge.
You give me one ballpark in the MLB to go enjoy the cuisine outside of Globe Life Field, I'm going to a Mets game. They have Big Peach's smoked turkey sandwich that looks just to die for. But how about this one, Wolchuk and Dawson? Cinnamon bun egg roll.
Yes, I saw that. Oh, it was like, my goodness. Delicioso.
That just came screaming across my timeline.
Kraft burgers and stuff from celebrity chefs.
That's incredible.
So the outside of the egg roll is a sweet roll with stuff in the sweet roll?
I think you're talking about the innards being a cinnamon bun with the outside being egg rolled.
Okay, so they're not using the egg roll, like roll it out.
Right.
And then put stuff in it, then roll it back up.
Okay. I believe so.
Okay. I see what you're doing here. Okay.
I mean, they had me last week when they announced the bucket of 20 chocolate chip cookies.
Which is real. That's real.
With a team logo on it, I thought the bucket by itself was a good buy, but then you put the 20 cookies in there. Goes next level.
Also saw from Darren Revell, for the 23rd consecutive year, the pimento cheese sandwich at the Masters will cost $1.50.
Yep, there you go.
It's incredible.
The last price change was in 2002 when it went from $1.25 to $1.50. Mm-hmm. In 1997, it was $1. Factoring for inflation, the sandwich today is 50 cents cheaper today.
I believe their beers are $2.50.
Yeah, that's a bucket list.
Seriously, you can punish some beers at the Masters.
Really, really want to do that. I want to do some beer punishing at the Masters with my bros.
Yeah.
Like, let's make that. Can we just make that happen?
But man, you can't be like, stand up, let's go, two outs. You can't be that guy.
I'm not gonna be Birdie treating butt. It like a World Series.
On your feet.
Yeah. That's Woo! What do we got here?
Mr. President, get up.
Yeah.
Isn't there rules?
George, get up.
Isn't there rules like to everything, including you can't get above a whisper anywhere near course?
You could cheer and stuff like that.
Just whisper cheers.
It is after
the shot. It's whisper booze.
It's amazing how quiet it is though walking around that place.
You hear the birds chirping.
Yeah, seriously.
Guys getting ready to put on a green dog.
They'll toss you. They'll toss you if you like get too drunk and sit down. And try and like lay down like you did out in the outfield of the minor league park.
I love that.
Yeah, you would like, 100% talk in somebody's backswing. Yeah. Now we're all thrown out probably. But it was worth it.
It's still worth it. Yeah. It's a great story.
Yeah, but if
got
you
got kicked out of the Masters.
You would just like, if you were like, oh, I think I'm going to lay down here at the, you know, on the eighth green, buy it. They ask you to stand up, you know, please.
They're also debuting a limited time tomato pie that's handheld.
You call it a tomato pie?
Yeah.
At the Masters?
Yeah.
I will say, what does that even mean? Tomato pie.
It's like one of these, like, kind of looks like a sausage roll.
Oh wow!
And then on the inside,
so it's like tomato sauce.
On the inside, it must be like, I don't know if it's fried green tomatoes or
I don't know, man.
But the pastry itself looks delicious.
It's like a kolache with tomatoes in it. Maybe.
Yeah. That's a great way. It looks
that could be disastrous.
Might be. I don't know if they're serving it. Maybe this is like a Georgia thing.
Let's put the cinnamon rolls in there.
You know? Should be peach. If they're gonna do that, do peach.
Peaches would be nice.
Yeah,
in Georgia. Like a peach cobbler pie.
Yeah.
Well, they have that peach ice cream bit that
they do. Really, that looks amazing.
It's good.
That was the number one overall pick, I think, in our Masters food draft.
Yeah.
from a couple of years ago. Congratulations. Oh, wow. Steph Curry last night, 32.7 rebounds, 8 3-pointers made.
Dawson's on the first half. Dawson's on to something. Let him shoot the ball 100 times and see what happens.
He totaled with 52 points and 12 of 18 from the three-point line. An absolute legendary performance. 10 boards, 8 assists, 5 steals. I mean, just ridiculous. And the Warriors are now 18-2 when Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are in the lineup together.
Man, I hope they win it. You know, now that the Mavs can, I think that's who I'm rooting for. But yeah, he was putting on an absolute show. And yes, Brian, I think let him shoot so many times that he could break Will Chamberlain's record. Let's do the math on this, right?
How many shots need to put up to break the record?
Well, 60 shots, he'd do it.
I was going to say, last night, 52 points on 31 shots. So you just think about doubling that if you can be as efficient as he was last night.
Might need 75, but let's do it.
Yeah, I would guess probably shooting. 70, I'd say.
Nobody's shooting until Steph gets 100.
Hey, real quick, Eric, circle back. Sorry, I'm way behind here.
Yeah, you are.
You know you wanted to go to Citi Field to eat?
Yes.
Second most expensive concession items in the league.
Yeah.
Beer, 2 16-ounce beers are $18.50.
Yeah.
For a beer, I mean, 2 sodas, 20 ounce, $22.50.
It's a trip you got to save
for. 4 hot dogs, $28.
That's pretty heavy-handed.
San Francisco has the most expensive. Citi Field is the next, and then Boston's Fenway Park.
That's just the geographical nature of it, right? You would think just like anything in San Francisco, anything in New York is gonna run you.
Well, smuggling a flask, spend our money on gourmet food items.
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
I agree
here.
What you're talking about. Like, hey, let's do this. But man, if it's the second most, we're gonna have to.
We'll have to save for a while.
By the way, one of the most overrated parks is number 4.
Oh, Wrigley.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know about your disdain.
Yeah.
Okay, so also last night in the association, Russell Westbrook cost Nikola Jokic a win on his 61-point triple-double night. 61, 11, and 10 went Nikola Jokic. By the way, we didn't even address this. Should have been the lead story in Best of the Weekend on Monday. The Eurostep, full-court, one-arm shuck.
He does that all the time. So
halftime buzzer beater.
It happens all the time.
Acting like nothing even happened in terms of celebrating afterwards. Nikola Jokic, I've never seen full-court, Eurostep, one-hand, full-court shot, bucket, buzzer beater. Let's go to halftime.
It's like a floater.
Let's go get my Uncrustable at my locker. It was special.
Like, length of the court passes and stuff. Like, it's, He's got such a feel for that.
His ability to see over the top, but his strength.
Yes. Yeah. It was the same effort that I would give in like a trash ball shot. You know, like just crunching up some paper, shooting it Kobe style or Colby style, like Broadus says, into the trash can.
Colby Bryant.
It's the same effort I would give in that as what he gave to send that ball full court. But Russell Westbrook was sadly the story of the game, because the final sequence of this was just truly awful. And we will go ahead and hear Kevin Harlan paint that picture for us.
Conley to Anthony Edwards. Gordon is there. And he threw it away. It's a turnover. 2-on-1. Brown. Westbrook. No. Rebound Alexander Walker. Final seconds. Here we go. Conley the other way. Edwards looks at the clock. Drives. Feeds.
They got a foul on the three-point shot.
Okay, so then Nikola Jokic, after a 61-point triple-double, and the Nuggets lose thanks to Russell Westbrook. They were down 138-137 with 20 seconds left. Westbrook misses a free throw. Then they're leading, and he blows the transition layup, as you just heard. And then after blowing the layup, he goes and fouls the three-point shooter at the buzzer to allow the Timberwolves to win in double overtime, 140-139. Pretty hilarious stuff there from Russell Westbrook. But even funnier was Anthony Edwards after the game, just marveling at Nikola Jokic, but also himself.
That might have been the best game of my life, like, that I've been a part of. Nikola Jokic, bro. Oh, my God. He might be the best basketball player I've ever seen, like, close up, besides myself. bro. He's incredible, bro.
What a great line. Maybe the most incredible basketball player I've ever seen up close, except for myself.
Except for myself, of course.
I don't know how real this is, but the internet is alleging that Anthony Edwards made a historic move by paying out the full child support all at once,
18 years.
Covering 18 years worth of payments, just a touch over $1 million, $5,000 a month, but he just settled it all up front. So
yeah, I guess that
he
would
doesn't
be,
want to hear from her for the next 18 years.
Yeah,
her being the baby mama.
Yeah, I guess you know that takes that concern off of your radar. You know, to not have to worry about it. I hope she doesn't go and spending it all at once. Yep. You know, I'm just worried about the kid. You know, yeah, I hope that money makes its way to its kid.
It won't.
Man,
it won't.
It's just saying it won't.
It's going for Sunday fun day.
It's yeah.
Bottomless mimosas.
Some other thing.
Every Sunday for the next 18 years.
Find another guy that will give her money. You know, that
kind and as a dad, are you paying for that just to totally go away? I hope for that kid you want to be involved.
There's a part of me that feels like this is the this is the last you'll be seeing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Kind of out of sight, out of mind now. Yeah. Don't ask me for squat.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I could not have handled the responsibility of a child. You know, that would have been a nightmare for me, a personal
nightmare.
Couldn't
pay my bar tab.
Right.
So I made sure to not have a kid.
Well, that would have gotten in the way of all your fish tanks and whatnot.
It would have. Yeah. Yeah, it would have been tough.
That would have thrown you off. And
your
the beer
fish
drinking.
Tanks.
Yeah.
Now, we also, I think the saddest thing in the NBA last night was the halftime performance in Atlanta, where a Hawks fan reportedly tore his ACL while competing with another fan.
Yeah,
did you see this? This was sad. Geez. As Broadus is laughing. No, it's hilarious, but it is sad. This is here now. This is like the Chris Arnold.
We signed a waiver
of Atlanta
we
Hawks.
Signed a waiver.
I was wondering about this. Like, what
we
type of waivers are being signed?
Absolutely signed a waiver
when you compete on the hardwood during halftime.
That's my first thought. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
You signed a waiver.
They were playing some sort of game. It's a 1v1. You both are on opposite ends of the court, and you have to make a certain amount of shots. And then if you win, you win.
Guy got her on the layup.
This guy is going for the layup, and it must have been slick, dude. Must have been slick. The floor cleaners or whatever were slacking there because this dude goes up for the
layup, collapse,
leg goes back. Nia apparently gets torn up there in the ACL. Here is the in-game announcer. This is like this is the way it all sounded. And
this
listen,
is Chris Arnold?
This is the Chris Arnold of Atlanta. It's a female who doesn't know how to handle it now that this person has just gotten hurt. And the other competitor doesn't skip a beat. Like,
hell,
he's going for the win.
We're
here.
We're going for American Airlines tickets here. What are we doing?
Take it away, Atlanta halftime.
All right, then tick, tack, go! Oh!
There it is.
James! Oh, no! Hold on. Let's make sure my guy is good.
He's not good.
Make sure my guy is good.
Oh, man.
Surgery. Oh, man.
Well, this is not really a fair game at this point. James, can you just be kind and come over here with me and check on James? Dog, Dez, we know you won, but okay.
Dude's just laid out.
Turn around. Okay, we going to check on him, but.
Oh, non-contact.
I mean.
Are you a wet spot on the floor?
She just petered out. She said, I don't even know what to say or do. Throw it to commercial. Can we get second half started a few minutes early?
Chris,
that's why CA makes
the big bucks. We need to ask Chris because Chris has been very creative. If like Chris has used the you want to get away line before, like the Southwest, like something happens. Like
he
was supposed to interview Harper, and Harp like went to the men's room before the interview and like never came back. And so Chris was just standing there by himself and he threw the Southwest Airlines line at him. You know, you want to get away?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Chris, I'm sure would do something creative, you know, with the guy laying on the ground like that.
Speaking of creativity, I felt like this was a pretty dang good April Fool's joke.
Poor guy.
Somebody at their place of work, at their office, just had like a couple of Krispy Kreme donut boxes stacked up. paper. Like,
oh, this was hilarious. I saw Gojo go ahead and quote tweet this.
And you open it up to read April Fools, and instead of Krispy Kreme's awaiting you, it's just broccoli and cauliflower and carrots with some ranch.
So mean.
It's brilliant.
That is a great.
That right there is a pretty dang good April Fool's joke right there. It doesn't cross any lines, but you never forget that day when you got ball sacked in the way of thinking you're getting the Krispy Kreme and here's some cauliflower.
My goodness.
To start your work day.
I don't know how I'd recover from that. I think I'd have to go down to the store and get some donuts. Yeah,
there's definitely going to be some retaliation involved. Oof. But I thought that was a pretty good one. The one that got a little bit too heavy-handed was, did you guys think at any point yesterday that Dennis Rodman had lost his life?
No.
No.
Believable, though.
And even more believable when the April Fool's joke was not only that he died, but specifically he died due to autoerotic asphyxiation accident.
Yeah, totally believable.
Choked off.
Like, totally believable.
If you had to play the game, what former athlete's most likely to die that way?
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman probably.
Maybe the number one seed.
Towards the top of the list there. So he had to come out and say, hey, this is not real. Just wanted to let y'all know this was fake. I think it started on Facebook. And Facebook is
toxic.
Really wild, wild west when it comes to the fake reports.
I heard he said, I actually was doing that just this morning,
but I didn't lose my life.
I survived.
I'm an old pro.
I've done this before.
That's one of the funniest ones ever, dude.
I got a little prank last night in the middle of a water break. The girls got up and spontaneously, just as an entire team, got up and ran away.
You know?
I was like, what's going on here?
Coordinated effort.
Threw you off a little bit.
But it didn't work because I was secretly thinking, yes, about freaking time. So I got him back like 20 minutes later. I called an end to the drill. And they were like, is practice over? And I said, no, but you're going to wish it was after what happens next.
Ooh.
That was BS. Mm-hmm. And then I went in a little bit. And then Abby could tell that I was not serious. So she hollered out the April Fools as the look of terror across the other girl's face was reaching its crescendo.
Because she knows the real the real look when you're being serious.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you, Chief. There, an evening sports hodgepodge in the books. Time to get over here to the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking for you next in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Ross Lubinsky, in for Lucius Alexander today. Did a nice job, Ross. Thank you once again. 5 hours here, just about in the books. Time to hand off the sports radio broadcast baton to the Fan After Dark featuring Fred and Blake. Fred Davis in studio here. It could get ugly tonight. I think you're going to have a catbird seat here on quite a storm show.
That's what we're hearing.
It's coming in. Should be, you'll just see dollar signs raining down.
Damn right we will.
Flashing in the sky. Hope everybody stays safe. I mean, this could get tornadic, not only tonight, but on Friday as well.
That's what I'm hearing, man. It's supposed to be ugly the next few days. So
damaging hail, possibly. You know, you
stay safe out there, folks.
A lot
stay
of different
safe.
Ways to get your roof torn up, pelted. Maybe you just have the shingles clean blown off with the strength of some of these winds that are coming in. So, yes, Fred, how are we doing tonight, buddy?
Well, you know, I mean, look, hopefully if my co-host is listening, 877-81-1053, go ahead and text into the Franklin Frankel text line. Let me know that you're going to come be here tonight. I'm not convinced he doesn't think that we're on 9 to midnight.
Oh,
Blake Elliott.
He might be asleep.
There's no telling.
Okay.
I mean, we've called, we've texted. Me and new guy Jake have tried reaching out, and so far, nothing. This was in between us trying to get in touch with Dave Raymond and Mo Vaughn. So.
Okay. I was thinking maybe Blake thinks today's April Fool's and he's just pulling a fast one.
Gotcha.
Is he eating a meal downstairs right now?
I'd be getting freaky with it.
Is he low cell phone battery guy? Like, oh man, I got to charge my phone. He's always down to 2%.
Not usually.
Maybe he's just coming in hot.
Last time this happened, he had taken a bit of an afternoon snooze.
Yeah, that was.
I remember that.
That slumber bled into the PM.
Which I could see him doing that again because, like I said, I know he is doing the breakfast thing, serving and bartending right now. So I could easily see. Now, we had a text message from him at like 4 o'clock.
Okay, so he's alive.
Oh yeah. He was as a four.
He's not crash out, disappear hammered guy, is he?
No, Blake is locked in. That is one thing I can say about him. I mean, look, 25-year-old Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, 25-year-old Kavanaugh would walk up with like a Miller 24-ounce can in his hand while the music was playing.
Yeah.
No, that's not. No, Blake.
Put his bare feet up on the console.
You remember, too, here. This generation doesn't drink. Like, they just don't.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
You know, they'll vape God knows what for days on end. But as far as like, you know, getting hammered drunk, no. What's that?
They're not boozing?
Not as
much. No, it's like, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. There was some number, I don't know, there was some bar graph that came out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. They talked about how the difference in generations and how much booze they buy. And, you know, my generation, your generation brought
us. We're drunks,
Now, are you guys considered Z, or what the hell generation are you guys?
No, we're millennials.
Yeah, are you?
I think so. I was 91. Okay.
You're definitely
a millennial.
I think I'd
be the millennial.
Okay, so you're right there. You're what? You're Gen X, Gavin, and you're...
Baby boomers.
You're a baby boomer. Okay, and I'm considered a Zennial. Half X, half millennial. Okay, so we got the whole thing.
Zennials.
Oh, is that what a Zennial is?
That's exactly what it is. Born between 1977 and 1982.
So, okay. 1977 and 82?
1977 and 1982, because the beauty of my generation is that we, you know, grew up without the internet. Knew a little rotary phone, but then right after we graduated, a little Prodigy internet, you know what I'm saying? A little AOL, all right? A little Hotmail.com. Here we are.
But you guys had drinking problems. I think.
Oh, we absolutely did. Come on.
We had drinking problems.
No, but it sounds
and we drove without seatbelts and with a cigarette hanging out of the corner of our mouth.
It sounds like fraternities are still getting after it pretty good, though. Like, there's still pockets of drinking with these younger generations, right?
Naked stuff, yeah.
It's just telling me. It's not the masses anymore. No. Like it used to be, I guess.
No, and it's probably a good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're popping pills, though, too.
It's just a substitute, you know? If it's not the alcohol, it's something else.
It's something. They're doing something.
I mean, if you take out the Jack Daniels and you replace it with fentanyl, I don't think that's a good idea.
That's not a winning combination.
You know? It's that angel dust crap we were talking about earlier. It's making a comeback.
PCP. What's coming up on the show tonight?
Great question. Well, right now it's a solo show, but when he does finally decide to show up, we got my boy Sam Quinn from CBS NBA. Excuse me, covers the NBA for CBS. He had an interesting tweet this morning. He said the three teams that need to blow it up going into next season, the Suns, the Mavs, and the Bucks. And I don't think a lot of people would be necessarily, you know, the Suns. I mean, that goes without saying. Bucks are kind of in this weird place right now. But I'm curious to get more of his thoughts on why the Mavericks, all right? I mean, I think we know why, but I'd like to hear kind of a non-local perspective on that. And so, of course, then we're going to talk a little baseball tonight. I mean, real quick. How long can we go with the whole, it's still early, let's not worry about the bats just yet? For a team that we keep hearing, and Bochy says it every game, every post game, bats going to come around. It's going to be all right.
Give it at least another week.
At least, right? But what's what's the line of demarcation to where we can't stop? We have to stop saying it's still early.
If you're a month into the season and this stuff's not fixed, then we got a problem.
Okay.
I think realistically we'll know in 10 days.
Really?
You know, but I think traditionally you'd go 40 games.
Okay.
And that would be fair. At 40 games, you'll be like, forget about it. This is 100% signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah, sure, a quarter of the way through the season, right?
Yeah.
At that point, so.
Yeah. I just don't know what you do, you know.
That's the million-dollar question.
You're looking at Marcus Simeon. You got to get Josh Young healthy, you know. And if Evan Carter's going to struggle this much in the minors, I don't know if we'll ever see Evan Carter up here again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, looking forward to the
haikus, by the way, too.
Fan After Dark, Fred, and maybe Blake.
Bless you.
Seriously, TBD.
Hopefully Blake's all right. Call in or if you're around
or
Blake.
Show up.
If you're Blake's neighbor, go check on him.
You got to get Shoddy's number just so that you have a point of contact. Or hit up
Brian Schottenheimer.
Mama Elliot.
I too.
He refers to his girlfriend as Shoddy.
Yeah, he does. Okay. He does. He's kind of changed it up
Shorty.
A little bit.
Shorty.
He did. He had to change up a little bit because people were thinking that he was talking about Brian Shoddy.
Yeah.
Sleeping with him. So that, weird, but whatever.
Interesting content choice there.
Very much so.
Okay, Fan After Dark is next. Thanks to Blake Lebinski. Blake Lebinski. Thanks to Ross Lebinski doing a nice job over there. 5 hours. I think that was flawless. There goes Wolchuk. Get well soon, buddy. Thanks to Eric Chiafalo as well. Carter Freeman coordinating your video, and Brian brought us. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. Addies.